Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Justin and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Ho, 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 the holidays are upon us. As a gift to you listeners until the end of the year, I'm releasing my special ticketed live stream episodes from behind the paywall, The first episode is with drag queen superstar Naomi Smalls. It was originally recorded November 11th, 2020, and it's an extra special, long, juicy episode for your ears. Hey, just a heads up, my audio is going to sound a little different. I forgot to hit record on my end. Hey, it was early in the pandemic. We were still figuring things out. Okay, I promise you the rest of the live episodes will sound much better because I did better. I was a good person. Anyway, it's a super fun episode. We swap dick stories. Naomi talks about being a sheep farmer. She's a real treat. Also, last but not least, Team Coco is putting together a fan favorite episode list. And we need your input on what to include. Okay, please vote for your favorite episodes at teamcoco.com/datemevote. That's teamcoco.com/datemevote. Or find the link in the episode description. Without further ado, here's my episode with Naomi Smalls.
Why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? Please tell me why.
Okay, you guys, this is the future. Corona has taken away, fun things like going to see shows and stuff like that. So now we're doing stuff online. So this is Why Won't You Date Me Live, streaming online. It's insane to not have audience feedback. Real quick, before I bring in my special guest, I'm really excited. I grew these cherry tomatoes. She's a fucking farmer. Okay. It is so wild to not have an audience, because to me that was like super funny, and like it would have felt good to have people be like, ha ha ha, we loved it, Nicole. Anyway, okay, so my guest, I'm so excited to introduce her. You've seen her on RuPaul's Drag Race, you've seen her on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars, you've seen her on RuPaul's Drag Race, that Vegas show? I should have looked up what it was actually called. Okay, it's Naomi Smalls.
Hi, Nicole. I love your cherry tomatoes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for loving them. They are shaped like a little straight, like they kind of look like titties, right?
I thought they were like rubber duckies at first when you held them up. Or like,
fair.
Like little, the construction workers to wear them to protect their ears. Or like, you know, security guards.
Oh, are those just... don't know the word. Earplugs. Just earplugs, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're not earplugs. They are allegedly cherry tomatoes. And then allegedly, if I just like lay them in the windowsill, the sun will ripen them.
Oh my God, science is crazy these days.
It's absolutely bonkers, Naomi. Do you farm at all?
I used to farm when I was a kid, actually. I used to like raise sheep and like goats and pigs when I was like in sixth, seventh grade. But now I can't keep a plant alive in my apartment to save my life. Like I can order flowers, I can get sunflowers, but I cannot like water a palm.
The best part about your answer is I was expecting you to be like, yes, I've grown a tomato once or twice. And you were like, yes, I was a sheep herder.
I know, I love to talk about it too. Like any chance I get, I'm like, I used to raise sheep.
Wait, were you like, what? Please tell me more. I know this podcast is about dating, but like, I gotta know about these sheep. What do you mean you were a sheep farmer?
Okay, so in like sixth, seventh grade, I used to go to like middle school on a farm. And mm-hmm. I got really into being friends with this girl named Nicole Birch. She was so cool. She had a snatch pony. She had a great name. and she was really into sheep. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hang out with you. I'm going to get into sheep too. And I like fell in love with agriculture at a very young age. And my mom was like fully down for it. So yeah, that was a really great like 2 years of my life.
I love that story. I have a similar one, except it has nothing to do with sheep. But in, I guess it was 10th grade, I met this kid, John Mason, who's still one of my best friends in the whole wide world. And he was wearing Air Force Ones. And I was like, ooh, those are cute. And he was like, you know, they come in like limited edition colors. And I was like, what? So then I started collecting Air Force Ones. It's not a similar story at all. But I mean, like,
they're made out of leather. So it's like, you know,
there we go. So Naomi, truly, thank you so much for doing this. You are so fucking beautiful and like funny. Oh, and that's not fair.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I feel like not many people are hip to the funny thing because I necessarily don't really think I'm that funny either. So I appreciate it. And
wait,
I love that we
you
have,
don't
like,
think you're funny?
Well, I think I'm funny because I laugh at myself all the time. But like our audience is like in 2020 and just life in general, like everyone just takes everything so differently. So you never really know. So, but we have such similar friends, like Meatball. Mm-hmm. Like, if anyone stands Meatball, I stand them. So, like,
Meatball, I just messaged her. I was like, are you sick of my like DMs and whatnot? Because I'm trying to make you my new best friend. She was like, girl, no, Diva, it's okay. And I was like, perfect, because you're not going to get rid of me. Like, I love her so much. And she told me the funniest story about you sending a wig to her in an Uber. And she thought you were inside. And she was like, Diva, oh, it's just the wig. That made me laugh so fucking hard.
That is how I do living in LA with no car. And I mean, who's trying to like take Ubers these days anyway? But like, if I promised you a wig, I'm going to get you the wig. It's just going to be like, you know, going to be a carrier service.
I absolutely love it. It made me laugh. But honestly, why don't you have a car?
I know. Okay. So when I was like younger, also, this is after the sheep phase. Mm-hmm. I was such a bad driver. Like, I couldn't even tell you, like from 18 to 21, totaled 4 cars. I was like, this is not my time. This is not my hobby. This is not my skill. I just need to take it as a red flag for everybody else's safety.
Wait, you totaled 4 cars?
Yeah.
Was it your fault each time?
Every single one of them was my fault. Every single one.
I dated a dude who was in like 4 car accidents. I wonder if you hit him every time. Because he doesn't have a car either. And he was like, I don't want to drive because it scares me. I think you terrorized this man that I dated. And then I terrorized him. And then we stopped dating.
Were you dating a freeway center divider?
Imagine I was like, yeah, times got really tough. And I truly just get on the 405 and like fucking rub my pussy on this divider.
He's resourceful. We love a man with a motive. He gets us from one place to the other.
I'm trying to be resourceful, but truly, I think you're so funny. You, I won't say who you described as hokey, but hokey is a perfect word to describe that person. And I don't mean it in a shady way because I love that person. I think they're very funny as well. But like, I was like, hokey, that's a word you don't hear. And it's kind of perfect.
Oh, maybe I'm just an old soul. I've been told many times that like my vocabulary is very like you are a 60-year-old man. Like, proof is in the pudding is probably, like, my favorite saying of all time. I don't know why. I just, like, catch myself talking about anything in the world. I'm like, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
See, that to me is very funny. I truly think people who use different phrases to describe shit, like, that to me is perfect. Because it means you're, like, unique.
You don't like lit or, like... You know, fleek. What do kids even say these days? They're like dancing with the TikToks now.
I honestly don't know what the kids are saying these days, but I've started saying sick a lot. Like when people are like, is that okay? I'm like, it's sick. And people will like look at me twice. And I'm like, why can't I say things are sick? I want to, but it's funny to me.
See, I feel that way about the C word. Like I say it in like a, such a good way. Like I'm like.
Wait, which word?
Like, I don't know. Can I say
cunt
here? Yeah, cunt.
Cunt? Yes, you can say cunt.
Okay.
Because so, I don't think black people are affected by that word the way white people are. You can call me cunt all day long, but I'll come for your personal life. I'll tell you how ugly you are inside or on the outside.
I never say it in a bad way. I'm always like, oh my God, that hair is cunt. Oh my God, those shoes are cunt. That arch on that slingback is cunt. You know, it's never like from like a derogatory term, but like just because I don't mean it in a certain way doesn't mean somebody else doesn't take offense to it, unfortunately.
Yeah. I say things are disgusting when I like them because I like weird things. Like I'm wearing, you can't see the whole thing, but it's a hot pink velour onesie. And when I saw it, I was like, ooh, that's nasty. I love it. So like, I'll be shopping. I'm like, ooh, that's disgusting. Let me see that. And people are like, just to see? I'm like, no, I'll probably buy it. It's nasty. I love it. It's rotten. But I just like, I like unique things and that's how I describe them. And people get offended sometimes. And I'm like, just chill out. Don't take life so seriously.
We're so, so quirky.
We're so quirky.
Cheers, Nicole. Thank you so
much.
This is going to be so fun.
Naomi, what are you drinking?
Okay, I'm drinking whatever I had in my refrigerator. So I had like some gin, I had some strawberry banana nectar, and some elderflower liquor from a long time ago with some water. It's very watered down now because I'm kind of a baby.
I love that you were like, whatever was in my refrigerator, which was elderflower liqueur and boysenberry sniffs and whiffs. And like, it was just like, oh, that sounds like a delightful, tasty drink.
It's in a safe container. So just in case I knock it off, because I'm very, very, very clumsy. What are you drinking, Nicole?
Are you really? I'm drinking. Okay. So I found this wine. It's white wine. I love white wine. I don't drink red because once I drank two bottles of my dad's red wine, this was years and years and years ago, and I fell asleep face down in my bed and I puked and I woke up and I wasn't wearing my contacts or anything. And I was like, what is this? And I was like, what is this? And then I was like, ew, I'm playing with my own puke. So I don't drink red wine. This is white wine. And it's this company called Joel Gott. And it's delicious. I don't know. It's like the only thing I drink. That and Kim Crawford. Ooh. I think I like wines that are people's names because it's fun for me. I'm like, oh, hey, Joel.
I love a Kim Crawford, though. Love a Kim Patel. Love
great.
A Kim Kardashian. I love all the kimchis, you know.
Kim. Oh, speaking of kimchi, I'm wearing her. Oh shit, I don't know what it's called,
Diamond
but
sharks.
The glitter. Yes, the glitter on my eyes.
Literally, like you said, like I like looked at you and I'm like, that's diamond sharks for sure.
It honestly, like, really, like, it looks good.
Oh,
right?
It looks gorge.
Really like it.
Kimchi is really that girl, and I'm so proud of Kimchi Chic Beauty. Like they are. I love that she's like putting her name on something that's actually respectful. And
yes. And it's nice to like donate money to the Trevor Project. And then the products are just like actually good. I'm also wearing one of her blushes. I'm just like wearing a lot of kimchi. I really like it. Yeah. Meatball gave me this blush.
Ugh, she knows. She's got good taste.
Mm-hmm.
She's got good taste.
So, Naomi, let's get into dating just a little bit. Honestly, we'll talk about dating, but then like I meander because I have ADD and we're just going to talk about like whatever we want.
Perfect.
But are you dating right now?
I'm currently not dating right now. Like not as like not super effort or anything, but the way that the world is going, it's just like interesting. And this is the longest I've been without like a romantic interest.
And how long has that been?
Okay, so I'm being dramatic, but like I've literally had a crush on a boy like every year since I was like, you know, nine. Mm-hmm. And this is as long since high school. So like in a year, I've pretty much steady of no dating.
Honestly, I don't think you're being dramatic. I think that is a long time. I mean, I do. I once went 2 years without dating anybody or having sex. I attribute it to my papa passing. So I just like, I don't know. I was like depressed and shit. So like, yeah. I truly wasn't looking and just like really drinking a lot and having a good time. But when it finally happened, when I like finally had sex with someone again, it was like the least satisfying thing I'd ever done. But I was so excited. He like, oh boy, how do I say this without like giving, he doesn't listen to the podcast, but he like was on top of me and he was just like, and I was like, oh no, I forgot about what this was like. Straight men are disgusting. And then he came and then he like got off me. I was like, he's like, you good? And I was like, yeah, I was not good. But then he fell asleep and then I scurried like a little kitchen mouse to my roommate's bedroom. And I was like, Jen, I had sex again. And she was like, it is 4 a.m. Get out of my room. But then she was like, congrats. So I get it. Yeah. A year is, it's a long time.
The fact that you let him sleep in your bed, though, was it your guys' first time hanging out or like sleeping together?
Oh, no. I knew. It was our first time fucking, but like I knew him from just like the comedy world. So it was like we were friends. And then also, I'm 100% sure he wanted to come home with me because I had air conditioning, because he kept talking about air conditioning in the bar. You know, things are fun once you like piece things together.
It's hard out here in California. I can't say I blame him. One, because the air conditioning, and two, because, you know, you got it going on. And do you have, what kind of size of bed do you have?
I was living in New York, so it was it was a full-size bed, but...
Work.
Oh, wait, no, this was my old full-size bed. It wasn't even, like, the comfy one. I bought a new bed when I lived in New York, maybe 2 months before I moved to L.A., and I was devastated. I was like, this is the most comfortable bed I've ever had. Like, when I started making money, and I was like, ooh, I can live comfortably in New York, I moved to L.A. Mm-hmm. It was depressing.
It's fucking, I'm sorry, it's expensive as hell here. I'm trying to like censor myself. I don't know why I try and censor
myself. Oh, you don't have to. You can say fuck, you can say shit, you can say ass. I truly can't think of anything else. I'm like, what else is like a bad word? Yeah, you don't have to censor yourself. At least I don't think. I mean, if people are offended watching, I was going to be like, I'll give you your money back, but I absolutely won't.
Oh, no. This is a one-time purchase, baby.
It truly is. There are no refunds. Where are you from?
I'm from California. I'm from...
Oh.
Yeah, I'm from, like, closer to Palm Springs area, Redlands, California.
Ooh, I fucking live for Palm Springs.
It's a culture. It is a culture for sure. The desert.
It truly is. I love it. I love the old people there. I actually love how hot it is, because, and people are like, dry heat's not a thing, but I'm like, it is. It is. It's a different kind of heat.
It's different. I will say, like, it's kind of a lot when you're like really hot. It's like 117 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. And then you like dip in the pool and the pool is like 116 degrees. And you're just like, where's the relief here? But Palm Springs makes up for it with the nudist resorts and the gays and the
dust. I didn't know there was a nudist resort.
Oh, yes. I mean, if the gays are there, they need to be naked, you know?
If the gays are around, yes, people will be naked.
It's the same.
I love it.
Same thing as, like, all the gyms, like, outdoor gyms opening up right now. Like, the gays are making that happen. Like, they're like, no, I cannot go without.
I gotta say, the gays have been, they were the first people who I think figured out how to do like online shows with drag queens. Like Bitch Puddin was like, oh wait, we can't be in a bar? Cool. So on Friday, you'll be online with us. And I was like, this was quick. It was quicker than stand-ups. It was quicker than anything I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, okay, I guess gays get it done when they want their bag and when they want to work out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The queers will make it happen regardless. Like,
I absolutely love that.
We're strong.
Back to Palm Springs. Springs. Have you ever rented any of those houses in Palm Springs that are like stupid big?
No. Oh my God, I would love to though.
You absolutely have to. So I rented a house for a couple of my friends, and okay, so there was a tennis court, a basketball court, a gigantic fucking pool that came pre-set with floaties. There was a casita back house for the couples who, if they wanted to like fuck. And then it was 8 bedrooms inside with 8 bathrooms, like 8 private bathrooms. So nobody had to share a fucking bathroom. But the catch was only 3 cars were allowed in the driveway at any time, because it was like a private neighborhood of 4 houses and people are like, cars are unsightly. So I parked 4 cars in a 2-car garage, and I've never been prouder of myself.
Did you parallel? Did you have to like back in?
Yes. So one car, a little Honda Fit, was like this way. If the door is that way, and you're supposed to pull in. So I parked it sideways, and then I put a car here. Meatball's car was there, and then I put my car in between the pillar between the garage doors, and then my other friend's car was over here. I was so proud. I was like, oh my God, I am like the car Tetris queen.
So much. I stand.
Thank you. Thank you. She's a farmer and she can valet your car. Okay, so I'm curious about your career. When did you start doing drag?
I started doing drag at 18. Yes, definitely 18, like in my bedroom, but then like finally hit the stage at 19.
I love it. Do you remember your first performance?
Oh yeah, I remember it like the back of my hand. Like it was terrifying, but it was so thrilling, and I felt like it like checked a lot of boxes of like where I feel comfortable. And where I feel comfortable is just being really fucking nervous. So it definitely did that for me.
That's such an interesting thing you said, that you feel comfortable being nervous, because I too feel comfortable being nervous. If I'm not nervous before a show, I'm like, either the show's going to be very bad or like, I guess I don't care anymore. And it's only happened a couple times, and I've been right each time, where I'm like, oh, this is just going to be a bad show. And I like knew it. Or I was like, oh, I just truly didn't give a fuck about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I'm nervous, I'm like, ooh, okay, this is going to be good. Oh, no.
No, totally. Like when you walk off stage and like you're like, or if you walk onto stage and you have like that feeling of like, well, I don't really give a fuck. You're just like, it's just, you're not going to remember it when you get off. So like, why would you not want to remember something so major? Like anyone who puts their stuff on stage and takes ridicule like that, like that's amazing.
Yeah, speaking of ridicule, it wasn't ridicule, but, and also, if you don't want to talk about this, we don't have to, but, like, I feel like queens of color just are held at a different standard, just, like, people of color in general, Black people especially, are treated a certain way, and there's weird expectations, but when you sent Manila home, which I loved, I love Manila, but I like good television more than I like a queen, and... And to me, that was like good television. It was an unexpected choice, and you owned it and you did it. But the backlash was not very nice. If you want to talk about it, you can. But if you don't want to, that's also fine. But like, how did you navigate a fucking fandom who like likes you and cares about you being like, no, thank you?
Ooh, I mean, it's crazy because like the Drag Race fandom is something that I am so familiar with, because I literally started in that position. Like I was waiting outside the club when I was too young to get in, waiting for the queens to sign my things. And I understand like how chaotic it is, and I understand how like chaotic the internet is. So I wasn't really, it didn't take like anything to heart for any of like that situation. It is a shame that I do feel like race always has like a big issue to do with everything. Like no matter what the situation is, you are always going to be, in this world that we're living in, treated less than like someone who made the same mistake or made the same choice that you did, who is just with like a different set of visual characteristics. But the thing is, like when you really think about it, like you have the people that really love and respect you, and like if my mom is calling me at the end of the day and being like, hey, I love you, then I'm like, okay, I don't really give a fuck what this stranger in Timbuktu, 12-year-old, who's never been to a drag show, has to say about me. And mm-hmm. it's a competition. And I hope that it just inspires people to like go out there and like really fight for their own and fight yes. for that damn crown. Like, why the hell did you sign yes. up for a competition if you don't want to win?
Yes. That was like the thing when I was watching, I was like, it is a competition at the end of the day. And I mean, I love Drag Race, but like I miss the older episodes mm-hmm. when queens were more cutthroat because it meant a little bit more. Because now it's like you get on the show and if you go home first, you have a career. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not really like you're fighting to be like top four. But like once you're in top four, like you can tour like and make solid money. But I miss the hunger and the drive.
Oh, totally. And it's been like so removed from that show. I think social media has a huge part to do with it because you know what the reaction is going to be like, or you're gassing yourself up in your head thinking what the reaction is going to be. So mm-hmm. then it stops you from really like participating how you would naturally participate or naturally react to something in the moment, you know? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame, but like season two, season three, like those seasons of
so good. Even season one with that filter, I love season one. I think it's so funny. I want to see Rebecca Glasscock on All Stars because she is the ultimate person where you're like, how did you get here? Why are you doing this? Why did you make that choice? Oh, she's one of my favorites. I love her so much.
Oh, see, I want to see Tammy Brown host Drag Race. Like, that is like, my goal. She is just the most iconic to me.
She's so fucking funny.
True star power.
I think she went home on her season with a Destiny Child song or a Michelle Williams song. And I think Akasha beat her and she was doing this like little two-step and I was like, she's perfect. I love her so much.
She calls me like, whenever I used to perform with her, she would always call me Scooter Butt because she couldn't remember my name. And I just, I'm so obsessed with that. Like Scooter Butt is like my pseudo drag name.
Honestly, that's perfect to not remember someone's name and then be like, Scooter Butt. Yes. Scooter Butt, that's what I'll call you. She's fucking perfect.
Teehee, isn't Scooter Butt such a fun nickname? Okay, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back with more Naomi Smalls. All right, after this.
One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
But you were talking about how you kind of edit yourself. I do the same thing. Like, I have a couple of jokes that I think are very, very, very fucking funny. I've run them by other comics and they're like, I think it's funny, but I just won't tell them because I don't want to deal with people being like, this offends me. I don't like it because of X, Y, and Z. Like, I tweeted 2 days ago, when I was in Oklahoma. She's a corn queen.
A traveler.
I fucking hate Oklahoma. But I tweeted something about what was it? Oh, I had ordered so I was on set and there was a funnel cake truck and they had a Reese's funnel cake. So this thing was like a fucking funnel cake with peanut butter sauce, chocolate syrup, Reese's pieces in it. And it was delightful. I ate half of it. And then Amelia was like, I'm going to pass away. So I tweeted about how I was going to pass. And I was like, if I die, do not say it was anything other than like self-love, treating myself in a hint of diabetes. And then this girl responded. She was like, I have diabetes and I would appreciate if you didn't, make jokes about diabetes. And I was like, lady, this joke is about me. One, two, it's about type 2 diabetes. And she had specified she was type 1. And I was like, this is a type 2 joke. So it's especially not about you. But also it's like, if I can't joke about it, like, and then it's like such a fine line what you can and can't joke about. And it's like, I don't mean it to be malicious, you know? I don't know.
Do you turn back? Like, do you like have conversations in the comments or do you kind of just let it like ride on?
Well, for her, I was just like, because she had said she was type 1. So I was like, it was a type 2 joke. Type 2 can be like reversed.
Let's clear it up.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't think it's like specifically caused by eating terribly, but like, I think maybe it is. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I just know that like, I wasn't talking about juvenile diabetes or anything that you like can't fix with like diet and exercise. I was just like, why do I have to explain this to you? Mm-hmm. I just don't know why she would be offended by, I don't know why people are so offended by things at all. Yeah. It's confusing.
I think people just like need to be part of the conversation. And like, even if part of the conversation is like being against it, they still feel like they're like part of it, you know? And
yeah,
you kind of have to like weed out like, okay, well, if I'm hurting someone's feelings, I don't want to like repeat that ever. Mm-hmm. But like, I think at the end of the day, if you know that you're not a malicious person and like, you know, when you cross the line and you know, and like, you're going to edit yourself to not do that, you know? So I think it's totally a learning experience though, whenever you put any thought that you have on social media, because unfortunately, because that's what makes the world so different. Like people just think differently. And unfortunately, some people just don't have good taste.
Yeah, unfortunately they don't. Although when someone like gets at me and they're like, I don't like you because of X, Y, and Z. I'm like, okay, I hope that made your day. I'm going to go live my life and do some, I don't know, sit with the cutouts of myself.
You have a great collection, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm obsessed. This like museum of Nicole.
This one is from a show. And then this one is from, I did a show at a college and they just had that at the door. And I got off a plane, drove for 4 hours, got to the school and I looked like shit. And I was like, I cannot believe my cutout looks better than me right now. And they were like, tee-hee-hee. I was like, I'm serious. Send it to me. So I always have that memory. So then they like folded it up and sent it to me. And then they sent the sweetest fucking note. I think it was the University of Minnesota or Missouri. And it's hard to remember because one of those schools is also the worst school I've ever been to. So it's hard. And then this, like the one that's like hanging there, I don't remember what I did, but it came to my house. Just like nobody told me they were sending it. It was like a photo shoot for something. And they didn't tell me they were sending me like the photo of myself. And I opened it and I was like, who did this? And then finally someone was like, oh, it was from us. So then I hung it on my wall and I was like, this is perfect. I loved looking at myself.
I love that. Is this like your you room or is this like the living room or is this?
This is my living room. The two cutouts, they live in my guest room. So when my guests wake up, I'm staring at them. And then the one that's hanging on the wall lives behind my front door. So when you close my front door, there I am. I really just love myself.
Good. Honestly, good.
Like, right? Like, not enough people say it out loud that they, like, love who they are. And then if you do, it's like, oh, she's, like, really full of herself. And I'm like, well, if you're not your own best friend or your own like biggest fan. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have not been recording any of this. Marissa, my producer, is going to be so mad. Okay, well, I'll just record the last half. Okay.
I recorded my side.
Well, you're doing much better than me.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if it like, I don't know how tech works.
It only captures your side. It's fine. She'll just have to use the audio from the beginning of it. And then I'll record a thing that's like, FYI, here's why it's weird. So Naomi,
hit me.
Are you on the apps at all?
I am not on the apps currently. I definitely have had my history though, for sure.
Okay. Is it hard for you on the apps since like you are so recognizable in and out of drag? Like you're you.
I get like too spirally on the apps. Like really, I really do. I'm like much more of a in-person conversation kind of girl. Like that's where I really feel like, I feel like the 80% of attraction is normally just like in that first like meeting somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's hard with the online apps because you're really talking to a stranger and then like they're asking you for more photos and you're like, why the hell am I sending this stranger like more photos of like my family and friends? And I don't there's too many catfishes on there. I don't know. Online apps are, I'll definitely get back to them. But right now I'm taking a pause.
I was taking a pause and now I'm trying to get back into them. And it's very depressing. I like, it's more depressing than it was, and I can't explain to you why.
I want to see your dildo.
Oh, I may have taken it down, but I will show you. Oh, this is fun. A lot of people have asked to see it, and now they can because this is visual. Wait, okay. It wants to know my passions? Get out of here, Tinder. Oh, wait. I might have taken it down because I did. I took it down because people kept telling me to take it down.
Yeah, your last guest. He said...
Everyone has been like, take it down. And for 3 years, I've been like, sorry about it. No.
She like says the message right up front. I respect it. If you have a photo of you with a massive dildo, I respect that.
I mean, here's the thing. I am a size queen. I do like a huge penis. And I just think they should know before they start talking to me.
Do you remember your favorite penis that you've ever encountered?
Oh, wow. This is a fabulous question that I don't think I've ever been asked. Oh,
thank you. Yes. It's the microphone.
So I dated this dude on and off for, I think, 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. And he had, Naomi, the most beautiful penis I'd ever seen in my life. It was just like thick and juicy. Oh my God, I'm like gone to a place.
Salivating.
I truly am. It was like thick, juicy. Also, it was an uncircumcised penis, which I like them a little bit better. And it was just huge. It was so big. And I've got like a very big butt. And I like doggy style. This is so much information that you didn't ask for. But I like doggy style. And then like it just like hit the right way. Oh, oh. Do you bet it was attached to like a full-blown sociopath?
Wait, I don't ask his name, but what would you name the dick?
Oh my goodness, what would I name that dick? I think I named that dick like a bruiser.
I was gonna say Bartholomew. I don't know why that was like the first name that came to my head, but I was like, Bartholomew would be cute.
I like Bartholomew. Maybe I'll name my child that. Just kidding, I'm not having kids. What's the nicest dick you've ever encountered?
The nicest dick I've ever encountered. Let's see.
Or like the one that really stands in your memory and you use it to like masturbate.
Oh my God. Crazy. Oh my gosh. Actually, on the farm. I mean, I don't know if I should be saying this because I was in middle school at the time. But whatever.
Well, was the other party also in middle school?
We didn't do anything sexual, but like he also was in middle school. But like he...
Then that's great.
He like flashed it in like a group of like a bunch, and it was like my first dick I had just like seen IRL that was like pretty imperfect, and I was like, wow, that one kind of looks like mine.
I remember my first dick. I was in kindergarten and we had a bathroom in the classroom, and I think it's called boundary issues. So I didn't knock. I have boundary, like true blue boundary issues. I love just walking into people's rooms and being like, hello. But I opened the door and this little boy was peeing. And I remember being like, wow, I don't have that. What is it? And I was like, excuse me. And my teacher was like, leave him alone. And like ripped me away. And I was like, I have so many questions. So then I didn't know how to like phrase my questions. So then I went to the library and I found this book called Our Bodies, Our Minds or something. I don't know. It's this like blue book and explained so much to me that I probably shouldn't have known in kindergarten. But then I had like asked my mother, I was like, did Dachi do this to you? Because I learned about sex. It was like a whole thing. But I do think that's where my love of dicks came from. I saw that one and I was like, I want to be near those at all times.
I do love a good, like, you know, I love a good nude. I love a good portrait. I love, like, you can really tell a lot about someone. I don't necessarily think I'm a size queen, but like, I love a pube grooming.
Okay.
Like, if you're going to take a picture of your thing, like, it better be real nice and groomed. Like, I'm not going to post a selfie on Instagram unless I have a haircut, you know? So it, like, should be the same way with the dicks.
But people don't think like that, especially straight men. Straight men think you want to see this, like, overgrown bush with, like, a fucking can of Coke next to it for, like, a size reference.
While they're sitting on the toilet.
Yes.
What is that?
I don't know. And then sometimes you'll see their like toes and their like toenails will be disgusting. And you're like, who on earth do you think would think this is sexy? Who?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like anyone who has to deal with straight men, I really feel for you. Because that sounds awful.
It is, I would say, maybe the worst thing in the world. I guess also just dealing with people in general is hard. I like dated a person who eventually was like, I don't know if I believe in monogamy. I don't know if I like want to be in a relationship. And I was like, then why are you on a dating app where it doesn't say in the comment, because you could write shit out. So like, why doesn't it say I don't want to be in a relationship and I don't believe in monogamy? Because then I could be like, great, I can make a choice. But you've now trapped me. You made me breakfast. I like you a bunch.
Not liking monogamy, not ready for a relationship. Gay.
Honestly, maybe. He did love show tunes.
No, but that's like something that is very common, I feel. Like a lot of people are like, do I want to get into a relationship? Do I not want to get into a relationship? Is it the right time? Is it not the right time? And I think that that's like a constant struggle that you just get into when you're meeting someone new and you're actually into them, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like you can, is it too much to put it on a profile? Like, I don't want to be in a relationship right now. I'm just like dating. I think that's fair to do. Well, I mean, it's fair for everybody involved.
What do they do like on Tinder? Like, are you allowed to like say that? Because I know on Grindr you can say like no strings attached or like I'm only here for quick meetups or chat.
I don't know
why I'm looking at my voice. Quick.
quick. So you can like on Tinder, you can like put a little, like there's a little thing where you can just write whatever you want. So right now my Tinder says definitely a thought, the happiest out there, which makes me laugh and I'll never take it down. Then it says I'm a known seltzer hog because my friend called me a seltzer hog once and it made me laugh. Then I said I'm a dark bottom filled with cream because again, I thought that was really funny. But then probably gives men the wrong idea. Then I just said I'm looking for a funny person who gets it. And then I wrote, I love to tee hee hee. I don't know. I'm going to be alone forever.
No, the apps are hard because it's just like so much pressure on like what you're going to say in that moment to attract like that feeling that you get like when you see someone across the bar and like you're like, oh, okay, this could work, you know, like, or like you both like are into each other. It's like, oh gosh, the dating apps are exhausting.
I feel like that works. It does not work for me. Like I've been with my like gay friends where they see someone across the bar and they're like, like my friend Taylor got into a relationship with his boyfriend because he saw him like across the fucking convention center at DragCon. But I have not once ever like looked across a bar, like looked across the room and been like, hey, just and then like dated that person.
Push your hair back behind your ear, flutter your lashes, take a sip of your drink, miss the straw. you know, like kind of clumsy, but like on, like fully aware that someone's staring at you.
I wish. The only time I've ever like hooked up with someone from a bar is like after last call. And it's like, who's left? My friend Mono calls that a sidewalk sale.
whoa, why are the lights on?
What kind of person are you looking for in a relationship?
Okay, so I kind of think I'm like at a place where I'm like taking a break from the relationships.
Oh, okay.
Like for now. I know I'm like, why are you on this podcast?
I mean, I have not been on a date since March. So the people who've been listening, like this lady literally wrote on my Instagram. She was like, I miss it when it was about love and relationships. And I was like, I know. So do I. I miss fucking people. But I can't die for mediocre dick. Although I think what's happening right now is I'm going to hook up with somebody and I'm going to make them wear a mask and I'm not going to kiss them. And I'm only going to do doggy style.
Wow. So it's just like a human prop.
Kind of. Well, I can't find a lady glory hole. Detox on Twitter said it was called a flower pot. But then I Googled flower pot and I only got flower pots. Ooh. So I don't know how to find a lady glory hole. I interrupted you. So you're not trying to be in a relationship.
Oh, no, you're totally fine. No, I'm like not necessarily opposed to a relationship. I think that with 2020, like everyone in the world, like fully gone through like the 9 cycles. And part of that, like one of those cycles is dealing with like the relationship trauma you had from before 2020. Mm-hmm. And I would say like, for me, it was a lot of like more guilt in a way. So like feeling bad for like fucking up love. So I think that I don't want to do that to somebody again in the near future. And I kind of need to get myself in a like way more appropriate headspace, or I feel kind of like fully realized right now, but like not necessarily enough to like dip into something new. Cause I'm excited to find out what this more fully realized love person is.
Honestly, I like that. It sounds like you're taking care of yourself, which is like truly wild to me because I don't take care of myself at all. Although I will say, I don't think you've ever fucked up love. Like I've talked to my therapist about shit like that. And she always hits me back with like, you may think you fucked up, but like, did the other person do what you needed them to do? And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, no. And she's like, then I think you both fucked up. And I'm like, Mary. Mary always hits me with like the hardest shit. And I'm like, my God, you're smart. But it's because she's listening and has no stakes in my life. But like every time she hits me with something, I'm like, oh my God, she's so smart.
If only like therapists could be matchmakers.
I wish.
On top of it.
Oh, it would be so nice to like go to a therapy session. She's like, actually, I just talked to someone who worked out their issues with that same thing. So I think you're a good match.
No, instead we have like Patty Stanger, who like,
meet my millionaire.
Wait, is that show still on?
I don't think so. I don't think that show is still on. I don't think that haircut is still in. I don't think any of it is still happening. But I was thoroughly entertained, just like I am with a lot of Bravo reality television.
I started watching The Real Housewives of Potomac, and they're perfect.
How is it? I hear it's amazing.
So good. So I was watching season 1, and then I was in Oklahoma, so I was watching whatever the current season is, and my God, they've changed, but not the way they act. Just like the wigs are different, the destination is different. Like the last season 1 thing I watched was like them going to a tiny little beach house where they had to like share rooms and they were mad about it. And then the one I watched the other night was like them going to like Abu Dhabi. They weren't in Abu Dhabi or Brazil, someplace. I don't know. I was like, this is lavish.
The fucking glow up. I love seeing that. Like I'm a real housewife sucker.
Mm-hmm.
New York is my favorite.
I've only really seen Atlanta. I watched the very first season of Orange County and I was like, these women are sick. And then my roommate, John's boyfriend, is watching, what is he watching? He's watching Potomac now with me, but then he was watching Beverly Hills.
Ooh, the money.
Beverly Hills is fun.
The money.
I just love people with money. They're different. They're a different breed.
It's so unapologetic. It's like, why do I give a fuck? I'm married to fucking Harry Hamlin. Like, why do I give a hell what you think about, you know? Like, I love the money of Beverly Hills, but I love the drama of New York as far as, like, the first, like, 4 to 5 seasons. And I haven't given Potomac a spin yet, but I
give it a whirl. It's honestly delightful. They will cap a scene with, so Karen is my favorite. She's like the rooted
blonde.
Yes.
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 She's the one.
She truly is the one. And she's so fucking wild. So there's this scene where this other girl, I can't remember her name. She has this like slamming body and everyone's talking about her body. And she's like, you know, it's high and tight up here, but then, you know, some things don't come back. And Karen's like, but it can. And she's like, do you know a surgeon? And she's like, mm-hmm. And I was like, they just had a conversation about this woman's loose pussy on camera. And they used code words like we weren't going to figure out that they were talking about a loose pussy. And then the scene just ends. And I was like, wait, I want it more. It was so funny. It made me laugh so hard.
I also love that part about the housewives is their fascination with the cosmetics.
Yes.
Because time will get you.
Were you living in Vegas when you were doing the Vegas show?
I was living in Silverado Ranch, which is like...
Girl, I don't know.
I know, me either. It's 20 minutes away from the Strip, though, which is perfect because, like, the Strip to me was just a little too much drama with, like, all the drunk people and the tourism, and, yeah, it's just a lot.
How was it living in Vegas? I feel like it would be overwhelming, just, like, sensory fucking overload.
Oh, my God, are you going to hate me right now when I go grab my laptop charger?
No, I don't. I won't hate you.
I'll be right back.
Let's see. Maybe I could take a question, or is that a whole thing to set up? Probably. We'll do that later. Ooh, okay, here's a question. I love your book. Do you have any other book recommendations to give fellow single people who need positivity in case we go back to lockdown? Ooh, that's a good question.
Okay,
no, I don't. My favorite book is this book called Jemima Jones. No, Jemima J. It reads like a text message, but I've read it 100 times and I truly love it. It's a wild ride. I think you'll like it.
Okay, real quick, we're going to take a break and then we'll be answering some listener questions.
Justin and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade, New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What is your favorite snack before and after sex? Okay, so Naomi, I started answering questions. What's your favorite before and after sex snack? For me, it's anything with peanut butter or pretzels. I have never been in like a real relationship where we're like, let's eat something and then fuck. And then after we're done, like, let's eat more. That seems like a real relationship thing. And Valerie seems like you're attacking me. But Naomi, do you have an answer for this? Do you have like a favorite before and after sex snack?
Oh my God, before sex, it's like a full on, if I'm going to be getting penetrated, it's like a 2-day star juice cleanse. Like I'm too paranoid. But after sex, honestly, I used to really be obsessed with McDonald's after sex.
Oh,
that's like my favorite. Like something disgusting I should not be having in my body after having something that I absolutely should be having in my body, or putting something that, you know, does not fit in there. But yeah, I love a good like large fry from McDonald's after doing the bang in.
I do love McDonald's. I had McDonald's yesterday. I don't know. The days are like fucking running together. But I had a hash brown and they're so fucking good.
And it's like, you know, when you order one, you're going to want two. And when you order two, mm-hmm. you're going to want three.
You're going to want three. And if you get three, you're going to want four. It's truly like, if you give a mouse a fucking cookie, it's like, may just give me all of the hash browns you have. It's all I want.
Getting that.
What's the most awkward thing that's happened to you during sex?
Oh my God, the most awkward thing that's happened? Probably anything that just happened. I mean, I feel like every gay man has this answer, or anyone who's put something where it's not necessarily meant to be.
You shit on a dick?
But like anything that has to do with feces and fellatio, or not fellatio, but you know, like, what's an F word for a dick?
We're
trying to be like Mother Goose up in this bitch.
No, wait, fellating. You fellate? Fellatio. Yeah, you fellate a dick.
But not with your lips. Like, I'm trying to think of like the other lips, you know, whatever. But like anything.
Your butt lips?
Yeah, butt lips. Your buxom.
Your butt fellatio. I think we just invented something.
The Kegel.
The Kegel. I've queefed on so many dicks where men are like, what?
Ooh, that's hot,
and you're just like, ugh, whatever, I'm honking.
There's like full-on fetishes for that, right?
I have yet to meet a person who was into that. I keep meeting the most vanilla dudes who are like, what's happening? My wig once fell off during sex. Wow. And like fully onto the floor, like, goodbye.
What style? And
it was my curly wig. This was years ago when I wore my curly wig everywhere. And he truly was like inside of me and said, what? And I said, just keep going. And I like grabbed it and I like put it back on.
Yes, respect. Oh my gosh. I like the wigotry during sex is something I respect, because I feel like 2 minutes on stage, I feel like it's gonna fall off. So I can't even imagine like getting bumped and grind and all the right places.
Like, you gotta pin that bitch down. If I'm going on a date, so like my favorite wig has a comb here and then like clips that you clip in, and then I pin it in the middle. And then if I'm getting like, if it's like pretty rough, sometimes I'll just be like, please don't pull my hair. Like, I'll just preemptively say that now. But these, like, they're crocheted to my head. So, like, these you can pull.
Yeah.
Every hairstyle I've had since quarantine has been a pullable hairstyle, and I've had nobody around to pull them.
Wait, when's the last time you had sex?
March.
Gag.
It's been a very long time. And it was just because I kept getting taunted about working. They were like, or not taunted, teased. They were like, you're gonna work soon. So I was like, all right, well, if I get COVID, I affect like a couple hundred people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to stop their bag, so like I'll be responsible. And then I like wasn't working, and I was like, I could have been fucking, and then I would have had time to quarantine. I could have had time to do a lot of things. So now I'm at the point where I'm like, masks, maybe a shield.
Maybe through a sheet, maybe through a wall.
Yes, honestly, maybe. I'm so horny, I could cry. I masturbated three nights ago in Oklahoma. I didn't come, and then I just got so sad that I couldn't come. I was like, I think I've masturbated too much. And my body's like, bitch, we gotta get somebody else in here.
Wait, how long did you try?
I tried for maybe 45 minutes. God. Like, it was okay, have you watched Sex in the City?
Of course. Like, are we going to go to the rabbit episode?
Yes. Okay. So there's an episode where Samantha can't come because Miranda's mom died and she didn't say anything to Miranda and she was like upset about it. And like, that was like blocking her coming. And she tries with this dude, every position, she tries the vibrator, every position. That was me 3 nights ago or 2 nights ago or whatever in Oklahoma. Like truly just like jamming this fucking vibrator on me and in me. And then I, after 45 minutes, was like, it's 3:30 in the morning. I have to go to sleep. Like, this is bad.
Oh my gosh, I used to think I was such a Miranda. Like, I thought I was like a Samantha when I was younger because I really thought I was that girl. And then I was like, oh no, I'm Miranda because I'm like, you know, woke. But now I just think I'm like, I don't even know who I am.
Don't know you well, but I think you would be like maybe a Samantha Miranda. I don't think you're a Carrie. And I'm so glad you said you didn't say you were a Carrie. Whenever people go, I'm a Carrie, I'm like, so you're selfish,
you make
bad choices, and you're very mean to your friends. Yes, you are that fucking girl. I think I'm like a Samantha mixed with Miranda. I think I'm a Samantha Miranda.
For sure. I think that with Sex and the City, iconic show, amazing, amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think that everyone who's like a fan of the show can relate, as much as we hate to say it, with every single character on the show.
Oh, absolutely. And like, sometimes I'll be like, yes, Carrie, you're right here. But if you go back and rewatch it, every single man who dates Carrie hates Carrie. There's like episodes where Big is so disgusted, like, so Aiden gets mad with her. Like, it's a...
My heart. Team Aiden for life.
I am Team Aiden, and people be like, whatever, he's hokey. And I'm like, he might be hokey, but he's like a sturdy man with a job and cares. He loved her. He loved that piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Naomi, honestly, I really like talking to you, and I might have you back on the podcast because I didn't get to ask all the questions I wanted to ask. But now we have to do some questions. So if you have a question for me and Naomi, you know, send it all in. Send it on in. Okay, where is the weirdest place you've had sex? Would you do it again? Naomi?
Ooh, the weirdest place I've had sex. In the streets of... where were we? We were in Germany. Somewhere in Germany. After a work award show, I was like definitely feeling antsy after a show, and I found someone who was really like cool, tall, and very well endowed.
Ooh,
and some old like homeless man on the street was like pulling out his phone and like screaming at us, and we were like, it cut us short, but it was probably for the best.
Honestly, there might be a Naomi Small sex tape out there. No, it was probably dark though, right?
It was dark, but honestly, like, I keep saying honestly every 5 seconds, but there is probably some sort of Naomi Small something out there. I really hope it doesn't come out while my mom is still alive, but if it does, we live in 2020, everyone's proud of their bodies, and, you know. What about you? Where's the weirdest place you've ever had
sex? The weirdest place I've ever had sex is Central Park! Yeah. I just, like, met this guy at a bar, and then we were walking, and then he was like, where do you live? And I was like, uptown. And then he was like, I don't want to go uptown. I was like, where do you live? He was like, Brooklyn. I was like, I don't want to go to Brooklyn. And then we were like, just like kind of turned, and we were like, this is Cynthia King. And then that's where we
did it. Did you remain standing?
Yeah. I just like bent over.
Hot. She had an ish that needed to be scratched.
I sure did. Oh, Naomi, can you speak? This is from Valentina. Naomi, can you speak truth about the dress where your dick allegedly appears in All Stars 4?
Ooh, okay. There is actually screenshots of my dick from RuPaul's Drag Race, like, that they did not blur out. But it wasn't on All Stars 4. It was on season 8. I think that, like, people think I have a prosthetic dick that I'm wearing during, like, a runway.
So I can't remember. It's like a mirror dress.
Wait, have you seen this thing?
Yes.
I thought it was so niche that only I was like the only one, because I'm like, you know, a paranoid freak.
So. No. So it was All Stars 4. I can't remember what the actual outfit was, but I was hosting a Drag Race recap podcast via Vulture with Joel Kim Booster. The episodes are lost. I don't know where the fuck they are. You can't listen to them anymore. But Joel was like, yeah, you can see Naomi's dick. And then we watched it and paused it. And we're like, I think that's her dick. But maybe not. I don't know. So wait, you're saying on your season, your dick was out?
I mean, full like honesty. If I'm in drag, there's a huge chance of my dick coming out. A lot of the time, I have spent years trying to tape this thing back. I've also I've used ice to try and shrink. I've stand over like an air conditioning vent to try and shrink and then go from there. It really only works for like 5 minutes, and I do not sit in that 5 minutes and take a picture. That's
what
it.
What a treat. But I love it.
On All Stars, this dress that is rumored to have like a dick screenshot is not it. It's just a weird like light reflective thing. But there is a shot.
I think it's reflecting your forearm, honestly. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Smoke and mirrors. But there's a shot in season 8 where my full on like left testicle is out, and World of Wonder did not think to maybe.
Wait, what episode is it? The children want to know.
It's after the paper ball runway. So I'm not sure what number that is, but it's like me looking crazy in my paper dress with my full on testicle out for the world to see.
Honestly, that's very funny. That's
you?
Really so funny.
When did your dick
when has my dick popped out? Have I ever had anything pop out? No, I've like people have like titties pop out or whatever. I have the smallest boobs ever. Like I have an A cup. Like they're so tiny. They never pop out of anything. Do I ever have anything unruly? Oh, I've had my pussy pop out like on because I pole dance. I've had it pop out pole dancing. John, my roommate, I was trying to get this like, I can't remember what the move was. But I was like, John, hold my legs right here like that. I'm going to like open them for the picture and then like hurry and take this picture because I'm going to fall. And he was like, okay. And he was like, and he like backs up and he's like, your pussy's out. And I was like, God damn.
I love a lips open shot.
Truly. It was like, hungry, eating the fabric. Hello. let's have another question. Okay, Mark says, as a straight male who loves your podcast, Mark, you're number 8. How can I better myself on dates? Oh, I've been on a few in my new city pre-COVID, but don't hear back. Dang, I wish I could talk too, Mark. But well, Mark, ask women about if you're dating women. Yeah, you're straight. So ask women questions about themselves and then listen. Also, like, lean into kiss, I think. I think you should always try to kiss on the first date if you're, like, feeling a vibe. Because whenever a dude doesn't kiss me on the first date, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, what do I have to do to get to suck a dick? Like, what do I have to do? Because it's what I'm trying to do. I don't know. Naomi, what do you like to see from men on dates?
Ooh, I like to see confidence, honestly. If you can look me in the eye and, like, hold a conversation for more than, like, 5 minutes, there's something there. I think that not to be like that girl, but I'm like,
that girl. Truly, I think it is a dream when a man is confident and can look me in the eye. And like, if I tell a joke, be able to like banter back with me. Like, you don't have to be funny. I'm very funny. You don't have to be able to like tell a joke, but like just like showing that you have a little bit of humor is very sexy to me.
Do you feel like people are trying to be like on and funny when they're on dates with you? Like, can you like sense that?
I can sense it. I dated this one dude who thought he was really funny. So like, I would say something that was funny, he would laugh, and then he would try to like one up it. And I was like, well, it's not a fucking competition. You'll have your moment in a couple minutes.
Cause you just can see like, right through that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. I know when someone's wheels are turning, it's very easy to be like, oh, the next thing out of your mouth is going to be a joke. Like, I know you're trying to do something. But I just like people who are like easy breezy funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another question. Hovey, any sexy video chat tips? Should I set up a scene, wear a sexy outfit, keep it casual, have a drink and chat before undressing? I don't have any advice for this.
Are you a sexy Skype kind of girl?
No, I don't inherently find myself sexy. I think the sexiest part of me is just like, I'm fun, I'm free, I'm down for anything. And that doesn't translate in like a, do you want to like see my tit?
Into the mic.
Yeah, excuse me, would you like to see my tit? Like, it just doesn't work. I don't do video chats. Do you do video chats or anything like that?
I don't do video chats. I would like to do like video, like FaceTime dates, but like just because we're living in 2020. But like, mm-hmm. I am a firm believer, like if you don't want it, after years of experience and years of being, you know, life, I would say that if you're not comfortable with like your friends and family seeing it, don't take the picture and don't send it out.
So that's like, honestly, very good advice.
Goes with that. Because if you're not like comfortable enough for the world to see it, maybe not the best thing to be showing your tits on Skype, or like, you know, mm-hmm. busting out the head of your penis and like snapping it on the, you know, the cam. But I do respect, like, you know, the effort to keep like sex alive when you're not mm-hmm. necessarily able to make it happen.
Yeah. I don't know if we answered that question, but I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. If you don't want it out in the world, don't do it. I don't think you should like make it like a scene, like a backdrop-y thing. I think maybe like a blank wall is good. Mm-hmm. Or if you're trying to show off your personality, like new shit on your wall, okay. But like, don't make it look like you put effort into it or too much effort. Because then it's just like, then I'd be like wondering, I'd be like, oh, okay, we're doing this like sexy. Is this like what you do for everybody? I would just have too many questions. I think the simpler, the better.
Have you sent a nude before?
I sent pictures of my butt. So, okay, I also sent a video of myself masturbating to somebody who told me it was too much. And I was like, but you wanted it. I don't send anything with my face in it.
Smart.
But the butt picture I sent to someone has my butt tattoos. So like if they posted it, like you would just be like, yeah, that's definitely Nicole. I have very distinct tattoos and I talk about them all the time. I got a hamburger, a hot dog, some ice cream. I just added to it. So on my other butt cheek, now I have a chili pepper, watermelon, a peach, something else. And it says juicy. And then I have a lemon. A lemon and like a little lemon slice, and it says, when life gives you lemons, suck a dick. And the woman who tattooed me, this girl Alana, was like, do you really want suck a dick on your body? And I was like, yeah, bitch, do it.
Love. She's trying to get the message across.
Mm-hmm. Let's do more questions. Emily says, has anything ever happened, ever happened in the middle of a date that made you get up and leave? If not yet, what's something that would make you get up and leave? I've never gotten up and left, but there's been dozens of times where I'm like, ew, this person is like gross. They smell weird. They're not funny. I would love to leave. But like, for whatever reason, I'm like, I should stay.
Like you're like planning your escape during the date.
Yes. Planning my escape to be like, it's like a mutual thing where we're like, oh, we're both going to leave now. And then I leave and never respond to them again.
Yeah. And I think that's courteous.
I try to be courteous because I would be so upset if someone left me in the middle of a date.
Oh, totally. Oh my gosh. If you're like sitting there in the middle of the restaurant, yeah. Like, just devastated and like, I mean, we're not devastated, but like everyone knows that you came with two people and you're the only one that's sitting there at the end. And like, ew, mm-hmm. Who's going to take the bill?
And, like, who's going to pay this bill? Not me.
But if the person was a dick and you had like the proper cash to just be like, you know what, I'm done. And mm-hmm. like you have the proper cash to throw it on with tip. Mm-hmm. That's fierce.
That is fierce. And that's never happened to me. I never have enough cash. But then also, if someone in the middle of the date threw money down and was like, bye, bitch, I would probably burst into tears. And be like, why?
They're coming back. They had to park their car.
Yeah, I promise they're coming back. I am beautiful, right? You're like, man, chill the fuck out. Let's do three more questions because we do have to wrap it up. I said it would only be an hour. Okay, Eddie said, what's the worst food a guy has ordered on a date? Mine was spaghetti and milk. Eddie, that's wild. Ew. Because I dated a dude who I made spaghetti and he requested milk. I wonder if Eddie fucked the same dude I fucked.
Whoa.
Let's see, what's the worst?
Dairy is just like a red flag on a date, period.
Dairy is weird. Dairy is so fucked up because I'm like, are you gonna like toot on me when we fuck? Like, what's, why? Nobody digests milk well.
Do straight guys like order like full on meals? Like, I think that's the gay thing. Like, you can really tell like what the person's intentions are when you're coming down to like the ordering on a date. So like, if someone's getting like, you know, like an arugula salad in comparison to like, I'll have the lasagna combo number 5.
It's just like, it depends. I've been on a couple first dates where dudes have like ordered full meals, and I'm like, and then we didn't fuck. Like on those dates, like there was no fucking. And then on second and third and fourth dates, I've been like out with people to like order a meal. I'm like, oh, okay, we're eating, I guess. Where it's like, they say, let's go out for drinks. And you're like, all right. And they're like, can I have a steak? And you're like, oh, I guess we're eating. I don't know. It's confusing. And I don't ask questions beforehand because I don't know. I don't know why.
Are you into someone ordering for you?
No, if someone ever ordered for me, I would smack them in the face and be like, you don't know what this hungry bitch wants. You don't know. Leave me alone.
It's such a weird thing that like movies and like pop culture like paint this thing like the guy is supposed to order your shit. Like, why the fuck am I going to let this stranger like order what I want?
Truly. You don't know what I want. Has anyone ever ordered for you?
No, but I've told someone what I wanted and like they just like repeated it to the waiter. And I feel like that's kind of the
same thing. Hot. That's hot for me. Because it's just like, I'm silent. Oh, wait, that's happened to me too. So I went to dinner with my manager who was like a white dude and he said everything that I wanted. And then I went, oh, wait, can I have like wine? And he was like, you can have wine. And I was like, I want wine. And then the server, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he insinuated that he had made a good choice on the woman he was taking out. He insinuated that I was a hooker. And I was like, wait, what? And my manager at the time was a fucking idiot. So he truly was just like, uh-huh. And I was like, no! But honestly, I was like, that's a nice compliment to think I'm a working girl.
Oh, no, totally. Prostitutes are, as Dolly Parton has said many, many times, prostitutes are the most beautiful things in the entire world.
They are. They are. Like, whenever I look at a picture of a very slutty lady where she's, like, half-dressed, I'm like, oh, she's so pretty. And right now I've got this obsession with, like, surgeried women. I love big titty. Like, and I don't see it for myself. It's not for me. I just like to look at it. Like, I love huge titties. I love a teeny tiny waist. I love a giant butt. And I love the big lips. Like, I love it so much.
Oh my God, big lips. I'm going to have to try that sometimes.
Yours are iconic. Oh,
thank you. I would say, wait, what?
I kind of want mine bigger.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a doctor.
Is it expensive?
I would say that it's definitely been an investment, and my advice to anyone who's thinking of like lips is to definitely try Lily, because filler is just a completely different ball game. Filler falls. The FF word, like filler falls. And I'm really lucky that I set it up with like a doctor who I really trust, but like I've seen just so many horror stories, and I even think sometimes like, okay, girl, you went a little too far, but
not to keep talking about meatball, but she was like, should we get our lips done? I was like, uh-huh. And I don't think her boyfriend wants her to get them done, but I think we're gonna sneak away and get our lips done. So I'm gonna hit you up for that doctor.
Honestly, sharing a syringe sounds like the best time to be like, that's the best girl time ever,
right? I want it. I have like a good bottom lip. I think I want my top lip a little. It's like weird to do into my camera, whatever. You know, let's do another question.
Let's do it.
Ellie, could you share some advice you have in regards to international long distance relationships? I've been seeing someone who lives in England and I live in LA. Naomi?
Long distance is really, really, really tough. I have to say, because like both people have to be, have the same amount of like effort and interest at the same time. And that's really hard when like you're living completely different lives on completely different time zones. So long distance is super tough. And with social media at the same, in the same breath, you're like, you just, oh God, it's just, it's too much. I would say like long distance just does not work for me at this time. I'm not emotionally mature enough to handle that, like,
back and forth. I've never been in a long distance relationship, but I do think since there is space, I think it's okay to be like, can we just talk about like what we want out of this? Because it's like, why waste time if you can't see the person all the time? So I don't think it's like unreasonable to be like, hey, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, because it is a lot of effort and I don't want to be putting in more effort than you. I don't want you to put in more effort than me. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk. I think communication is truly key when it comes to long distance relationships. But like, good luck, Ellie.
I mean, London also, are they, do they live in California? They've been saying, or like,
what's their partner lives, or the person they're dating lives in England. They live in LA.
Okay. Yeah. That's like already such a, I mean, that's an 8-hour time change.
Oh, is it?
Right? Or am I like thinking of...
No, I think you're right. I don't ever think about time changes. When I was in Oklahoma, I could not wrap my brain around being two hours ahead of LA. I don't know. It was only 2 hours. And I was like, this isn't like New York where it's 3. This is stupid. I'm just saying, if you're watching from Oklahoma, get out.
Oklahoma,
it's bad.
Has the biggest shout out in this episode. Oklahoma is like, we feel seen.
Just there, running away from people at the hotel, not wearing a mask. Nobody in Oklahoma was like, I'll enforce the mask thing. And then while I was there, I was watching the news and they're like, we have 4,000 cases today. And I was like, 4,000? Does that mean everybody here has it? How many people are in Oklahoma? It's got to be just around 4,000. Okay, let's answer 2 more questions and then we should wrap up.
Let's do it.
Vanessa B, I just got out of a 5-year lesbian relationship. Turns out my girlfriend isn't gay, and it took her, I'm so sorry to laugh at that. That's very funny. It took her 5 years to realize that. How do you move on from this? I'm new to the dating scene. Vanessa, I'm sorry to have laughed at that. I was not laughing at your situation. I'm honestly laughing at your ex-girlfriend who for 5 years was like, gay? No. Like, that's so wild to me. Also, I think everyone's a little gay. I think everyone's a little straight. I think everyone has a little... I think gender and sexuality is a real spectrum. And I think we label everything very strangely. But I will say, it's not your fault. You're not wrong. You're fine. You're beautiful. You're perfect. Your ex-girlfriend, I think, is the one dealing with some issues. And I think... getting back in the dating game, you can't be super hard on yourself, because it's hard. It's like, dating now is very hard. Being on an app is hard. 5 years ago, I don't know if there was apps and shit like that. But like, truly, like, take time for yourself. Don't be hard on yourself and you'll find somebody. Naomi, do you have any advice?
Oh yeah. They should know that if they identify as lesbian and they're looking for a partner that also identifies as lesbian, and unfortunately the person who they spent that 5 years with is not in the same headspace, then that should be the first red flag and also such a saving grace to be like, okay, yes, I can move on to someone, the next person who, and that's something you'll look for, I'm sure, and you'll vet for, I'm sure, but like, it's better to be on the same page as somebody than like waiting it out and finding out 5 years later that I went, but at the same time, it's not a waste of time. We learn something.
You learn
relationship, but moving forward, only at the lesbies. And I have to say, the lesbies are my favorite people in the entire world.
I do love lesbians. Also, it's a fun, like, not icebreaker, but like, it's a fun story to be like, my last girlfriend was gay, but then not gay. Like, that would make me giggle if somebody told me that. So I don't think that's something you should hide, because it is an interesting thing that happened to you. And that's all, like, I do with comedy. Like, interesting things that happen to me, I just spew them out on stage and then people go, gee. Okay. This is our last question. Oh, MJ asked, what made you smile today? Naomi, what made you smile today?
Oh my God, what did make me smile today? I it sounds so like basic, but like I called my mom and she didn't pick up, and then like right away she called me right back, and that made me smile. I don't know why. I'm just
that's
like,
not basic. That's sweet.
In 2020, I've done a lot of like mom conversations. It definitely kept me very like sane and grounded, and I'm super thankful for that.
Oh, you're very close to your mom.
I'm very, very close to my mom. I don't know if that's a dating red flag, because like, you know, no. Like TV, they're like, hey, at least a mom is played, is whatever the hell you want his mom wants.
Yeah, I think that's an awful stereotype, because like when my mother was living, I was very close to my mom, and like it wouldn't be a red flag. It would just be like, whatever you do, my mother will know. That's it. And like, it's not like she would like make choices about my life. I just told her everything.
No, I mean, June happens to always just the baddest bitch in the game. Mic drop.
I love it. I love when someone loves their parents. I don't think that's a red flag. Like, one of my dear friends, Jacob, loves his parents, and I love listening to him talk about them. It's just sweet to me. Let's see, what made me smile today?
Being back from Oklahoma.
I mean, that was delightful. But I do have to wear a mask in my house because I have to get a COVID test, because I don't want to infect my roommates and they don't want to be infected either. So like, that's been annoying. But a thing that made me laugh, smile to die. Okay, this will be stupid, but my little tomatoes. I love them. I truly love them. And I gardened a little bit. I farmed. I got some new tomato cages for my tomatoes. So I put them in new cages and I told them that would make them safe. I talked to my plants like a fucking crazy person. And then I got strawberries today. And as I potted them, I said, hello, new friends. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you like your stay. like a full-blown crazy person. So, and then that made me laugh because I was like, oh, I'm insane. If anyone was ever outside their house listening to me being like, hello. So yeah.
Perfect. We started the podcast about farming. We ended it about farming.
We ended it on farming. I saw you in Work the World. I guess it was last year. Yeah, it must have been. And you did a lip sync to Wendy Williams, and it was maybe it was Queens of Christmas. Uh-huh. I don't remember, but it was so fucking funny. And this is what I mean by like, you are so funny. People just don't give you enough fucking credit for it.
Oh, thank you. I stan Wendy, and I stan Lee Dawson. Oh, I love that you went to that show. That was so long ago. That's probably the most fun I've had before.
Really? Like, you were... Honestly, it was I enjoyed it so much. It was so funny and just like impressive. And then Pheromone was also on that show, and she told a story, and it was very fun to watch her try to tell a story, because nobody told her that stories have to build and there's like an ebb and flow to a story. They just said, get out there and talk. And she went, okay. And I was like, if just one person helped her, this could have been a very good story. Oh, anyway, I enjoyed watching her. It was
Please have her on. She is just a walking ball of entertainment.
She's so funny. It was so funny to just watch. It was truly like, the story was like, I went outside and had a taco. And she was like, and then, so then the door opened because I opened it. And then it made me laugh. So, and I went with a bunch of comedians and they were so funny. And my friend Gabrus was like, so that's all you have to do to be a drag queen? I could be a drag queen. And I was like, it's not all you have to do, Gabrus. Also, if you write something dirty to me, hitting on me, I will read it. And you know what? I should have had one queued up, and I don't. But hold on. I'm going to find one. Okay, someone said to me, hello, my little love piggy. I said in like an episode long, long ago, I was like, why does anyone call anyone piggy as a pet name? It's because it's insulting, but I like it. I just want to say I'm super excited for the live show on Thursday. Hi, Taylor. Taylor sent this to me. I want to challenge you to invite me over for your next live podcast and have me sit under your desk and eat that juicy pussy while you're podcasting. Taylor!
Honestly, hot. Taylor's got the balls.
I mean, Taylor does have the balls. I don't think I could podcast while someone ate me out. Like, I think that would just be too difficult. I'm going to read one more. This is from Erica. Erica says, a post for your podcast. Love you. My coworker, Rodney, CPIC. Erica, I don't have my, like, photos opened on Instagram, so I can't see Rodney. So my coworker Rodney always be munching. He especially likes to munch on warm chocolate chip cookies straight out of the oven. He would like to cook up some cookie dough in your hot cooch and have you sit on his face after you call him a coochie monster. And then she sent another one, and it said, my coworker Rodney also always be grilling. He hopes one day to put his meat on your grill. And then she sent another picture that I can't see that says, reminder, this is Rodney. I wonder if Rodney's real.
Oh my God, hot. Do they have a photo?
No, well, I can't open. So if you...
It's like the Instagram, like allow other message.
Yeah, so it's like allow the message or whatever. But if you just like send a screenshot or something, I think that goes through. I don't really know. I would show you, but I don't want her... Okay, let's see. So you know how it's like... It's like to see, okay. It won't let me see the photo or whatever.
Your grill, though. I love that vocab.
Right? Put that meat on my grill. Imagine my pussy was so hot, you put your dick in me and it like had grill marks and then shriveled right off.
And then you ordered it at a restaurant and put like, you know, some chimichurri on it and then like kind of delectable.
That sounds good. I'm so hungry. I want some chimichurri. Have you ever been to... There's this place called Lala's.
Argentinian Grill on Melrose.
Yes, there's one in Studio City as well. Okay. They have some really good chimichurri. It's, like, delicious.
Is it the first place that you've had chimichurri?
Yes.
Because for me, it was. And I was like, I want this by the jar.
Yes. Yes, it was the absolute first place. I get my nails done at Pampered Hands, which is like a couple steps away from it. Ugh, now people know. Whatever. I'm not getting my nails done now. They're nasty little grabbies. But I would go to Lala's after, and it would be fabulous. Oh, I love chimichurri.
Me too. I love anything green, and that's a sauce. Like, I'm a huge pesto stan. I'm a huge chimichurri fan. Like,
let's pesto. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, on that note, that's it. Okay, bye-bye. Oh, yeah, okay. I forgot, we're not done. I don't know why I can never remember, but Naomi, would you date me? I usually ask all my guests when I can remember, but that was the... Okay, so Naomi, would you date me?
Only if I can order you at a restaurant, chimichurri in Oklahoma... And when we get done with fucking, after I splooge, I can just roll over and say, you good? And pass out.
Honestly, because it's you, I would allow it. I would be like, mm-hmm, yes. Yes, Naomi orders for me. Yes, Naomi, never make sure I come. Naomi goes right to sleep. I love Naomi. So yes, I love it.
Would you date me after hearing about...
Absolutely. Cool. Yes. Okay. Because I think you're funny. I think you're adorable. I think you're talented. You seem like you got your shit together. You've been working on yourself. And yeah, I would do it. But I have a feeling we would get together and you'd be like, Nicole, you don't have the parts that I want. And I'd be like, I know.
We can mold.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I love a good
story. You heard it here first. I'm in a relationship with Naomi Smalls. You can call me Nicole Smalls. Thank you.
I'm knocking my boobs against the mic for those of you who can clock that audio. That's how you date.
Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. Bye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by... Oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for listening to this episode. Just so you know, my special is now streaming on Netflix called BBW, Big Beautiful Weirdo. And guess what? You got to watch it within the first 10 days because those numbers matter to Netflix. Thank you. I love you all. Yeah, just play it on the background when you're doing your laundry or something.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.